Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to Seeking Witchcraft. Today I have on a super special guest, Nicole, who's going to talk about shielding, warding, and protective magic. Nicole is one of my real life friends. We're sitting here drinking tea, so if you hear clanking in the background, well, that's just what happens when you drink tea. And guess what? Nicole is not a gardenerian. Aren't you guys so excited?
Gasp.
I've had so many people ask me to have people who aren't gardenerians on, so here you go. Yeah, I've known Nicole for almost a decade, and I'm so excited that she's here to talk to everyone about this topic. So, Nicole, feel free to take it away.
Ah, this is so exciting. Hello, everyone. Give me a second. My heart rate is going so fast. I'm so happy to be here. Like Ashley said, we've known each other a really long time and have really watched each other grow up within the magical space. So this feels like a really full circle moment for us right now. So
yeah, Nicole was actually one of the very first people that I told I was training with a coven. Actually, you were the first person I told, like, in real life.
I feel so honored. So I guess I should kind of explain a bit about myself. Hello, I am Nicole. I have been, I wouldn't necessarily say practicing magic, but within the spiritual realm for most of my life. I was raised in a spiritualist household. I was Reiki attuned when I was 7 and have spent my whole life on and off oscillating within different practices. I suppose if I had to categorize myself, I would place myself as a Norse pagan. I work exclusively with Freya and have been for about 6 years. So you'll hear bits about her and my practice with her sprinkled into today's podcast, I'm sure. I work for an estate sale company, so I am going into homes of newly dead people very frequently, which is where warding really comes into my day-to-day life and practice. I'm also a massage therapist, another place where warding and protecting your energy is very important.
And Nicole's great at that too, by the way, speaking from experience.
Apparently. I've never felt my own massage, so it's hard to say. But yeah, that's really just basic level things about me. I'm married with 2 cats and I live a quiet life, and having home wards keeps it that way. So,
well, you're living a quiet life now because before you said you lived on the crossroads of your old house.
Yes, I did live on a crossroads for 2 years. Something that I didn't really understand before I lived there was how disruptive energetically living on a crossroads is, and you know, that's just one of those things through years of practice of witchcraft you learn as you go, right? So I learned as soon as I moved into this home that it was going to be really chaotic for me, so I had to get really good very quickly at banishing and protecting my space, specifically warding. And so that's really where the home warding started for me. And the first thing that I started with was bells, which I feel like is something that is not super widely known, but bells are really good for warding because of sound. Something about sound will disrupt energy. So if you notice the subtle witchcraft in like stores, how they all have bells hanging over their doorways, that is a carryover, I'd say, from the old days when, when, you know, witchcraft is more widely accepted.
Well, they also say too that when you're using, or when you're cleansing crystals, you should use a bell. You shouldn't use some things like water, for example, because that can disrupt some of them or like not be good for them.
I had not heard that
before. Yeah,
okay.
There's
interesting.
I'm not super into crystals. I mean, I have a bunch, but like on it, I don't really use them, to be honest. But what I've heard is that if you're going to cleanse them, like using the bell will help get its frequency back to where it needs to be. And that's like a way that you should cleanse it. But
interesting. Well, I think sound is really good for building a force field around you almost. So I don't know if you've ever had a situation where you're talking to someone and you can kind of feel them leeching on your energy. I've found that finding your frequency, right? So like wherever your sound resonates the most and just humming at them. First of all, it's really creepy to do to someone. I don't know if you've ever seen someone just start humming at you, but it's a really uncomfortable experience for everyone involved. But something specifically for me anyways about humming has really created that protective bubble. So in situations where I feel almost like attacked by someone just and just pushing that sound out to them really creates that force field around you.
Well, have you ever been really irritated at somebody and you're just like, ugh. Like, you have, like, that, like, at-word breath, and you're just like, I'm trying not to mess them up today. Like, I'm trying not to get in a fight, you know? That's also another way people are humming during situations they don't even realize.
Absolutely. That's so true. Yeah, just, like, that, just the sound expel from you, right? Mm-hmm. That is, like, your frustration or whatever your will is, like, made almost physical in the form of sound waves, so... That is interesting. So I guess as we've already touched on some specifics, we should kind of get broad for a second here. So warding is something that absolutely anybody who practices any form of witchcraft should do. Even if you're not someone that you consider a regular practitioner, or even someone that practices at all and you're really just interested in gathering knowledge, witchcraft is really about action, and warding is a very actionable thing that you can do in your day-to-day life. And it's hygienic. So I was explaining to Ashley earlier, the way that you put on a coat before you leave your home to protect yourself from the cold is the same way that you should be warding yourself every time before you leave your space, and even within your space. And it's very subtle, and it doesn't need to be something that you are actively doing every day, but through a couple of steps that I'm going to talk about, you can really protect yourself from a lot of different things. With the basic magical hygiene, like I was explaining, think about, like, even in your home, think about your house, like how you like to keep it clean and how it really gives you a clear mind. Warding will protect you from a lot of different things. So disruptive energy, spirits, prying eyes or ears, basically anything intrusive. So when you ward your space or you ward yourself, you're really giving yourself a good base level to work for from a level of calm and quiet. So let's see. And I also have a lot of notes, so you might hear pages turning. I'm so sorry.
Also, the audio might be weird because we're using the Blue Yeti to record two people on one microphone, which is apparently an option. So I'm just apologizing in advance if the audio is weird.
Just every apology for everything.
Yeah, every apology ever. But while Nicole looks, I did want to point out one thing she just said of witchcraft. Like, you have to practice it. You have to, like, get up and do it. Like, you can read about witchcraft all you want in a book, but unless you're physically doing it and actually, like, standing in a circle, lighting the incense, lighting a candle, whatever it is, that is the witchcraft right there. You can't get that just from being an armchair witch and just reading a bunch of books about it. You actually have to go out there and do it.
Absolutely. And the thing that's really special, I think, about wards is that they're so personal to the individual. So anything can be a ward. And it doesn't have to be physical. It can be a mental image that you create for yourself. So for example, for me, when I was younger, I had a lot of problems with, I guess, and I know that this has almost become like a dirty word, people don't like using it, but empathy. I'm becoming too empathetic and too open to people and kind of absorbing a lot of people's energy. And so I decided at one point that I had to put a stop to it, and I created this castle around me. And so I'd close my eyes and I'd build this whole castle around me, and I would just envelop myself in it, and I would live inside this castle. And there was a moat so I could let energy in and out when I wanted to, but when I needed to be strong and built like a fortress. So even just walking into situations where I needed to, you know, exude confidence, like an interview, you know, obviously I'm not going to be receiving like a magical attack in an interview, but having that energy surrounding me and that safety and comfort of knowing that I'm protected from anything that can come my way was super important for me just moving forward in my day-to-day life and my practice.
Yeah, when Nicole was telling me about her castle, the first thing I said was like, oh, like an astral temple, which, without getting too into what that is, because that's a topic for not this episode, that's more of an advanced topic. People can create astral temples as a way to meditate, so that's a place for them to go, and within these temples, they might have their own circle, or they might try to meet up with other people at an established astral temple, which is definitely an advanced thing to do. But I was like, oh yeah, like I've heard of this concept before. In terms of empathy and people being empaths, I do have my own thoughts on that. But that's also not for this episode.
Such a controversial topic.
It really
is. And you wouldn't think that it is, but especially I feel like outside of the realm of magic, people really look down their noses on people who call themselves empaths. And I will absolutely say that I've totally been a part of that in the past, for sure. But I mean, I can't think of a better term, you know?
That's
so
fair.
But so I guess a good place to start is definitely warding your person. And something that's really important with warding is you need to cleanse and banish first. So you know, think of it this way. If you lock your house before checking to make sure everything is good and there's no one in the house before, then you've just locked whatever's in the house in there with you. So if you're going to do a personal ward, you really need to make sure that you're doing any cleansing. And the thing with any magic, but especially warding, is it's just intention, right? So if you can decide that that's what you're doing, then you're doing it. You know, magic is really just the understanding of and the feeling and moving of energy.
Yep.
So if you can understand your energy and feel it, then you can protect it. So a couple of ways that I really like to ward, and I personally prefer physical wards, especially because it's such a nice way to do the subtle practice of witchcraft every day. So a big one for me, and I really use this when I'm going into houses that I'm working in where people have freshly died, because I've had some experiences where I've perhaps brought some spirits home with me. Again,
oh,
totally a whole other topic, but using a necklace that I wear every day. It's Mother of Pearl, which is, and I'm wearing it right now. and I wear it often, and I'm sure anyone that's listening to this that knows us is now going to go, oh, I know that necklace. But
we went to a bachelorette party, and I definitely thought that you were wearing that necklace because we were at the beach, and it's a very beachy-looking necklace. And now I know the real secret.
No, secret's out. So I picked Mother of Pearl, and I placed this intention into the Mother of Pearl because it is related to Freya, who is the goddess that I work with.
And it's really funny you start talking about Freya, because now my cat disappeared.
That is exactly what happened. As soon as I even had stirrings of conversation of Freya, the cat says hello.
Yeah, the really skittish, scared cat came out to say hello.
Hi! That's so funny. And so jewelry is a really awesome item for that. And again, I feel like this is a thing that people do naturally without even realizing that's what it is. Like, I know so many people that say, oh, I feel naked without my jewelry. And so they don't even realize that they've essentially created like a shield for themselves within these items. And so the thing with these wards, so a jewelry item, or I also use essential oil. So I've picked a scent that is related again to Freya, amber. And when I wear that, even just getting whiffs of it throughout the day, it's a reminder that I am protected, I am safe, and it keeps me on my guard. But with that, and with the intention, there is just, you know, there's some work involved, right? It's not like it just all happens naturally. There is the intention part. So
you can buy a protective amulet at the store, but that's not going to just protect you just from buying it.
Right. So it's really important to hold whatever item you're going to use as a ward, to focus on the task that you have set forth for it, push that intention into the item, and then feel the confirmation. I think anyone who practices witchcraft can feel the energy of objects, right? So you can really feel when an item has accepted the task you've set forth for it. So that's a really important part.
I would definitely consecrate it first.
Yes, very true. Very, very true. That is an important step.
Yeah, and just as a quick reminder, so consecration is a way to essentially purify and bless something, and then you can use that consecration ritual to give it its purpose. So a good way of kind of looking at it is, like, if you buy a protective amulet at the store, like, okay, sure, like, it might have a sigil or something on it that is supposed to be protected, but it's going to have all the energies from the store, all the people who've touched it, the place it was made, everything like that. Consecration is a good way to knock off the old energy that's kind of stuck or hanging around, or just the stale energy that's on the amulet, to then get rid of that energy and put your own into it. And then you can program it and be like, I want you to be protective for me. And it's very important that you're specific that it's for yourself.
Well, and that is why creating like your own charms or sachets or drawing your own sigils or something along those lines is really effective, because it is truly of you, from you. Of course, any object can be a ward, like I said, like literally anything. Anything can be a ward. Something we were talking about earlier that really struck me and got me really excited was, you know, and we're kind of shifting into warding for the home less so than your person. And this also works for your person too, but metal is a really good material to use for warding. And we were talking about how for people who are perhaps, and I will use Ashley's term that I really appreciate, in the broom closet, using something even like a curtain rod over your window and putting that intention into that curtain rod, and that is your protection. Because when you place wards in the home, you really want to put them over any type of entrance. So a doorway, a window, a chimney, especially a doorway to your room. If you live with other people, that's really important. I think something that gets forgotten. But I came into Ashley's home and we're talking about warding. She says, oh, well, I don't have any wards. And I look at her door and she's got an iron, I guess like reef holder or something along the lines of that on the door. And I'm like, hello, it's right there. I'm looking directly at it. And it's even got pentacles on it. And it's just like, clearly you have warded your home, whether you knew you did or not, you did. But so other objects that you can use for warding, like I said, any type of charm or talisman. You can use sculptures or statues. I mean, think about like old homes, how they had like the lions at the front.
We had a house that had the lions. There's a picture of me in high school like on one of the lions.
Oh, that's so cool. I want one so badly.
Oh, and here's the best part. I got to pull up this picture. Sorry, everybody else is not going to see this, but... So Nicole and I used to work for this EDM company, and one of our events is we had to take a picture holding a sign for like an event. Do you remember which one I'm talking about?
Is it?
They can hear that, but that's one of them.
I'm like, can I say it? I'm trying to keep you anonymous. I feel like I have this big, awesome secret that no one else knows, and I kind of love that.
Secret witchcraft. Yeah. There's a picture of me holding a sign for it.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I wish you guys could see this photo. It's honestly really iconic. And I'm like, oh, that's Ashley. I know that version of you. That's so cute. I love that. And it's huge. That's an awesome lion.
Yeah, there's a second one behind us too. Anyway, I'm sorry. We're talking about something that's not in this.
This was bound to happen. I'm so sorry. Again, we are a trail of apologies for this whole podcast. But okay. Where were we? Oh, yes. Okay. So, you know, charm bags, even stones like crystals, and especially if you're choosing ones that are, you know, best suited for something like protection, using those in window ways, I feel like is the best place for them is good.
I will say if you keep some stones in the window, sometimes they might get bleached by the sun. So just a heads up.
That is a thing. That's true. And so with metal, some good examples, like with bells, like we were talking about earlier, and the way that sound will dispel unwanted energy or spirits or the fae or really anything that you just want not to come into your space. There's also, you know, the whole like horseshoe thing, which of course is for luck, but it's also to keep bad luck out, which to me is coded the same as just a general ward.
There's the evil eye.
Right? That's a really good one. Railroad spikes are a really good metal thing to use. And those are incredible for anything, right? But especially for warding, in my opinion, I feel like for me, I really need a good visual representation of what I'm trying to do. So when I think of a ward, I think of something really tough and like gritty and strong, right? So a nail is like a good use for that. And it's multi-purpose. But with anything that you use as a ward, it does lose its charge over time.
Some people will use pee.
Some people do use pee. Well, there's the witch's bottle, right?
Like,
yeah.
You can make a bunch of different types of witch's bottles.
Yeah, it doesn't need to have pee, but I know some of them do. I'm not laughing. If you use pee, go off. I love that for you.
Hey, it's free.
It is free. It is free, and I like that about it.
Just get, like, an old pickle jar and some pee and, you know?
And go off.
Go off.
Another really fun one that I feel like doesn't get talked about a lot is your house plants. Because, like anything, they're spirits, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have...
Mine are dead.
Oh, that's okay. They're also doing their best.
My favorite part, again, you can't see this, but we're sitting in my living room, and I pointed to my balcony, and I'm like, mine are dead. And she's, like, looking at me. She's like, oh, that's okay. And then as she sees how dead they are, then she says, oh, they're trying their best.
They're very dead. That's okay. I have a green thumb, and I'm a Virgo rising. So people constantly think I'm supposed to be a plant person, but I'm not good with plants. I'm just not. But because they are spirits, like any...
Mine are really spirits now.
R.I.P. like any spirits, you can, you know, give offerings and ask for them to support your will, or, you know, at least listen to your will. Another thing along the lines of spirits that you can use as a ward is like bones that you find. You can use those spirits, ask for their protection. And once again, like I said, the organic matter is really great to use for the wards because it will hold the ward longer. But like anything else, it does eventually dissipate. So
decays,
So this is where, you know, we come back to wanting to keep a continual practice within your witchcraft. And because wards need time to recharge, and you have to do the work to recharge them. So that's why it's really good to have, like, for example, like having your home warded means that you can remove your personal wards when you get home and they have the chance to settle and you know, take a moment to regroup, and you can maybe take time to recharge them yourself personally. So let's see. I'm trying to think of what else is like really good for actually physically using as wards. Powders are really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's a really popular one in the like in the pop culture like zeitgeist, yep. Right? Like you see things with any type of creature, and you know, they've got like salt around the doorway and like but that's legitimate, you yep. know? And again, with anything, you just give it the intention and then it's gonna do the warding for you. And you know, that being said, I think it's really important to touch on warding against people and individuals. So it's really odd that it's very common, I feel like, within the conversation about witchcraft for people being cursed and, you know, constantly having yeah. that bad, and I kind of hate this term, but you know, the bad energy, right? In most of your practice, you're not going to receive any type of bad energy like that. And, you know, I'm going to knock on wood here because I can't speak for all of you individually. But in general, that's not really something that most people experience. But there are individuals in your life who are either family members or they're coworkers or they're an ex or they're a friend or whatever. And there are people in your life who are maybe going to act like they have good intentions for you, and maybe they truly do, but perhaps their will or what they're trying to impose mm-hmm. on you is actually really bad for you or just doesn't align with you. And so those are the situations where heavily warding against those people is important, and it's good. It's a good practice, and sometimes it can actually really fix those relationships. There was a period of time where I was having a lot of problems with my dad. We've always kind of butted heads, which is interesting because he's the person who brought me to spirituality. but there was about a month of time where every time I was in his presence, I was heavily warding myself because he was always probing me, right? He was always trying to read whatever I was thinking or, you know, just energetically get in line with where I was, and I hated it. So using those heavy wards created that boundary. He found it, he felt it, and then eventually he respected it, and I no longer needed those heavy wards with him. And so I feel like in any situation where there's any discomfort with a person, making sure that you know going into it that that's the time that you really need to fortify and protect yourself is super important. And again, like, this is not super common or necessarily something that everybody goes through, but it is, you know, worth
yeah.
touching on because I think we all have at least one person in our life that we're like, dear God, please don't talk to me. Leave me alone.
You know, I do want to touch upon this, and this is slightly off topic, but it kind of, you'll see. So, you know, you were talking about how one person might be one way, but their energy might be completely different. I think that's actually a very good thing to keep in check for yourselves as well, because, you know, I've had a situation before where I was really pissed off about something, like beyond angry. Like, I don't get angry very often, like at all. And this was like, I was livid. And I thought about doing just like some protective magic just for myself. And I was thinking about it and I said, you know what? If I do magic right now, I know that I'm going to try to do it for protective magic, but my energy is not there. Mm-hmm. Like, my energy mm-hmm. is going to fuck someone up, mm-hmm. whether I want it to or not, and I know that's going to happen, mm-hmm. even if nothing I'm doing is related to that. So I think that that's important for people to keep in mind, that when you're doing spell work or just anything in general, be very in tune with what's actually going on with your energy, because your head says one thing, but your energy can say something completely different. And yes. even if you're like, well, it's okay because that's not what my intention is, it doesn't matter. Your energy is going to do what it wants to do.
Yeah, we have a will that's outside of our actual conscious mind. And if there is a will, there is a way, right?
Yeah, there's a way.
Well, and you know, that's why keeping those light wards at all times is important, so that when you do come into those moments of like panic where you have to put up the heavy wards, it's, you're already aligned with that, right? Like, it's going to be pretty straightforward and simple to just kind of place that boundary further out or fortify it a bit. And you know, there are situations where you will need to take immediate action. Ashley, I feel like I told you the story the other day when we were at the beach. There was a situation where I had, and a lot of people are gonna be upset about this, but I had an altar, a familial altar that was near a door, which is always kind of another controversial thing, right? Some people are very anti altars at doors. I don't know that I necessarily have an opinion, although I should probably have a stronger one now that this has happened to me. But there was one particular evening where I was just sitting on the couch. I was with my family. Everything was really chill, really calm. And then the entire energy in the space just completely changed immediately. And my cat sat up. They were looking at me alarmed. There was meowing. Even my husband, who, although he's like a pretty spiritually in tuned person, he's not a regular practitioner, looked at me and said, "What is going on?" Like, instantly knew something was wrong. And I knew right away that something had come in through that altar. And so my first instinct, and again, I'm an earth sign, I'm very connected to nature, and I keep these two huge sticks at my front door.
Can confirm.
I keep two huge sticks at my front door as warding items. And so I got up and I did a quick banishing and I crossed those sticks, honey. I crossed them over that door. And I spent the rest of the evening just, first of all, panicking. It was really scary. I mean, it was like my grandparents' altar, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was upset. But also, just grateful that I had
something
ready to go. And I knew what I was doing. And I was prepared. And, you know, it was dealt with.
Not today, Satan.
Not today, Satan. Exactly. I don't know what that was, but I mean, I'm telling you, my cats looked like they were going to freak out. They were so scared. But so that instance in particular is really what made me realize how important home wards are and keeping them up, because I had placed those sticks there like months before and went, oh, I put them there and they're doing their job. And even when I pass them, sometimes I'd be like, thanks for protecting my house. But I wasn't taking the time to really maintain, you know.
This is at your old place too.
Yes,
right?
That place
was really cool.
Place was awesome. It was built by a mason, and he was definitely still living in the house. And
yeah,
the relationship went sour because I was not giving enough offerings, or I don't know.
I love the triangle above the fireplace, like the little silver one.
Yes, big.
That was so cool.
Big Hestia energy, right? Yeah, that was really cool. And there was a lot of really awesome, like, craftsman marks in that house, and a lot of cedar around windows. And, like, you could really tell that
he knew what was up.
He knew what was up. He put a lot of his energy and power into that space. And that's why he was still there and why we were cool. There was a couple instances where he did some slightly unfriendly things. And, you know, in that time, my wards were up 24/7. We were trying to get out of that house. I apologized up and down. I tried to mend the relationship. But once you've kind of soured a relationship with a house spirit, it's really hard to pull it back in. And that's not to say that you can't. I was also going through a diagnosis of Lyme disease at the same time. It was at the height of the pandemic, so I'd been trapped indoors and, you know, probably just bad energy altogether, if you will. But yeah, that situation, again, really proved to me how important staying vigilant and keeping that ward up was. And, you know, the thing with good wards is that you really don't notice when they're working. You're not supposed to anyways, because they're doing their job. They're protecting you, right? As soon as you become alerted to something trying to enter your space or just any disruptive energy, that probably means that it's time to check on those wards and kind of see where they're at and reevaluate. And, you know, I found that some objects have decided that they served that purpose, and that's it. They don't want to do it anymore, and that's cool. Like, I have, like, a ring, for example, that was, like, my go-to warded item for years. And now I look at it, and I've tried to give it that intention again and recharge it, and it doesn't want to. And that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
Objects get tired just like we do. So, so, you know, that's important to remember too.
Yeah, and it's not to say that if you have a ward that you're closing yourself off from every single thing spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I mean, hopefully it's avoiding the bad things, but, you know, you can still let good things in. For example, you know, Nicole, when I was at your old house, you know, I slept over that one time and I woke up in the middle of the night, and then the next morning I was like, yeah, so your cat was in my bed last night. Her cat that had passed, that she had a very, very strong connection with. Yeah, I woke up to him on the bed and I was like, oh, hey, going back to bed now. Thanks for waking me up. See you later.
You know, funny enough, we actually, we used that, well, used, I guess it's not the right word, but we asked and evoked that cat into that space right before we moved in. I cleansed the whole house and then warded the whole house. And then we were going to be away from it for like 5 days. And I was really upset because I'm like, I just did all this work and then we're going to move in and I'm going to have to do it all over again. And so I brought Dilbert. Shout out to my boy Dill. I brought Dilbert with me and I, you know, I put his ashes down and an image of him. And, you know, I asked him, like, please protect over this house. And he really did. And down to the bitter end, he was still there trying to help. And that was really special when you told me that you'd seen him there. Because I knew he was with us. It was like weeks before he moved that he passed too, really suddenly. But what you were saying about, you know, with warding, it's not necessarily like a fortress, like nothing can get through, right? Mm-hmm. Like you, it's about your intentions and your energy and what you want to evoke into your life and leave out. So you decide what you keep out and what is allowed in. And something that I do want to stress and I feel like is probably widely known, but in case it's not, is no matter what wards you put up or protection, deities are their own separate thing. And it does not matter how much you do or don't want to work with a deity, ward or no ward, they will find their way to you. So in my experience, it's been the only thing that I really have not been able to ward against, and I am but a mere mortal and will never be able to. But besides that, you can really ward against anything and, yeah, just decide what you let in and I just said that.
You know, during this conversation, I can't help but think of a comparison between warding and casting a circle, where I think that there's a lot of similarities, but I think that there's going to be some differences as well. So, you know, when you're casting a circle, you're in between the world, some might say, you know, you're neither here nor there, you know, the whole as opposed to below, like, all that shit. But the whole point, you know, when you're casting a circle, you know, you're creating sacred space. You're creating your own area around yourself that where nothing can get in unless you want it to get in. Mm. And that can also be said for deities as well. I think the circles are one of the only places that if you do not want a deity in, if you don't want a spirit in, they can't get in without your permission. Mm. With wards, there's always a way they can, you know, they can find a weak spot. As Nicole is saying, like, things deteriorate over time and that can help allow things to get in. But with a circle, that is your space. You are in control of that. And if something needs to get in or wants to get in, it will only get in unless if you allow it to. But yeah, I think they're kind of similar, but kind of not.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I've never actually worked with that before, like casting a circle. And I know you're really supposed to before you do any type of spell work, which I guess, I don't know, I'm kind of a bad witch. Like, I do a lot of things I'm not supposed to do, which is why.
But it's your practice.
But you know what? It's my practice. And that's also why my wards are so important to me, because I know that I leave myself susceptible to a lot of BS without them. So that's interesting. Now I'm like, we're gonna have to talk about this more after this. So I guess now is a good time. I know that we've kind of touched on a couple examples here and there, but giving a direct example for everyone to do at home, this is now probably the right time to do that. So I want to reiterate that wards are very personal to the individual. Any object can be a ward. Any visual representation of safety or comfort can be a ward. Pretty much whatever action you place into setting a ward, it's going to work for you because you have willed it so. That is your magic as a witch, is that you can do whatever the fuck you set your mind to. So for me, I think that my most favorite thing to work with is charms, or I guess talismanic pieces. So I would say pick any item in your home, and I would start with personal wards. I think that those are really important because they protect you from the outside world. As much as we love our homes and we want them to be cozy and safe, the outside world's a really scary place. So pick whatever object you want to use. And it could be something you leave in your bag or your pocket or in your car even. And you just pick that up. You hold the object and you focus on it and you tell it what its intention is. So for me, here, I'm going to recharge my necklace. We're going to take it off.
because I feel safe here. I know this energy. I know these cats. I know this person.
So, Ashley, would you like to pick up an item and create a word with me?
Oh, Jesus. I'm looking around to see what I have.
It can be anything.
Luna, come here. BRB.
Perfect. Okay, so now I think it's probably a good time for us to circle back around and create a word. So like I've been saying, and I cannot stress this enough, any object can be a word. Any physical or mental representation of something can act as a word for you. So I think it's really important to start with personal wards, so things that you wear on your person. I personally prefer jewelry, but if you want it to be a token, talisman, a sachet, anything like that that you would carry on your person, keep in your car, or anything of that sort of nature, that's a good place to start. So basically, and Ashley's going to do this with me, you want to hold the item in your hand, and I really like to take a moment to understand the object and its nature, so feel its energy, acknowledge it as its own being, if you will, outside of yourself. And so I've got my mother of pearl here in my hand, and I'm going to focus on it, and I'm going to focus on what I want it to do for me. So for me, I want this piece to protect me from prying eyes and energy, from people hearing or understanding my thoughts and my intentions. I want it to protect me from any spirit that comes across me that would wish to do me ill, and I want it to protect me just from any bad that could befall me. So I focused on the task, I've decided what it is, and now I'm going to send that intention into the object. So I've told it what I want from it, and I'm just placing it into it. So when you speak and you put things out into the open, you are creating a truth. You are creating a movement. So you take that energy and you place it in your object. And once you've placed it there with your object, you let it settle and you will feel a confirmation. Like I said before, you can feel objects, and I know you can feel objects. That's probably part of what brought you to witchcraft in the first place. But you will feel when the object has accepted your will. And once you've received that confirmation, you will then place it on your person. So I'm going to put my necklace back on. And I like to thank it every day. And I'm sure I look cuckoo bananas to people who don't understand what's going on, like my husband. But when I put down my personal ward every day, I place it in the same spot on Freya's altar. Aww. I thank it for the work that it's done for me. Of course, I thank Freya for all that she has given me. And the next day I come and it's recharged and it's good to go. So that's something that you can do for a personal ward that you place on yourself. But really, that's just it for any ward. For something that you place in front of your door or window or wherever it may be, it's about focusing on what you want it to do, sending the task to the item, and then feeling the acceptance.
I used to do something really similar when I first started at my job. I have a corporate job, but I'm working from home. But while I was working in the office, I'd have to wear business casual, but you still want to like make a good impression your first couple months there or whatever.
Of course.
So I'd have like jewelry I'd wear with each outfit. And in real life, I don't wear a ton of jewelry. And this is like corporate jewelry, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. The bling bling.
Yeah, yeah. That, like, that type of, like, your mom's jewelry, you know?
Like I'm wearing right now. I've got a big grandma energy. Y'all can't see, gosh. But it's there.
And so I used to actually, every night before I go to bed, I'd pull out my clothes. I wouldn't have to worry in the morning of, like, being half asleep trying to figure out what to wear. And then I would take the jewelry I was going to wear with my outfit and put it on my altar. And I would leave it there overnight to kind of, like, soak up the energy from my altar and the protection of the gods and just good overall energy and positivity and all that fun stuff. And then the next morning, I would put it on and I'd be sitting at work. You know, if I was going, had, like, a stressful thing or a deadline or whatever, I'd, you know, touch my necklace or my earrings or bracelet, whatever, and be like, you know, this was on my altar last night. This touched something sacred. I feel protected with this on. And it was great. I love doing that. But now I work from home, so I just wear leggings all day. So I'm not putting my leggings on my altar.
But it's empowering, right? To come back around to those objects and touch them and go, yes, I'm protected.
Yeah.
Like, I have my shield. I've got my fortress on me right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you are making a big mistake if you don't use wards in your practice, everyone. It really is part of the fundamentals, in my opinion, of witchcraft. And just spell work, or really anything to do with, you know, the divine, or just anything in the ethereal world requires protection.
I should probably ward my apartment.
Yeah, you really should. You do a lot here.
It's not that I didn't want to. It's just that we never got around to it. But I will say there's been enough witchcraft that has happened here that I'm pretty well established. But doesn't mean that I can't benefit from a ward, especially because they decay over time anyway.
They do. They really do.
Yeah. For me, because I'm in an apartment, I would have to do something more physical, like using the curtains above my windows, which, you know, now I realize that they're there and they're metal and they're great. Or the thing, like the wreath holder on my door, things like that, because I obviously can't be putting, you know, physical mixtures of things around my apartment perimeter because I'm going to get in a lot of trouble and the cats will eat it. And it's, obviously it's not going to work.
Well, you know, another good, really subtle one that you can do is, and I personally don't really work with sigils.
Oh, yeah.
I work with runes, but I don't really work with sigils. But I do know a lot of practitioners that really like to create their own protection sigils.
I'll make sigils, yeah.
And they'll just draw them on a piece of paper, and they'll pop that piece of paper above the doorway.
Oh.
And that little... What's the word I'm looking for? I'm not a builder. I don't know this word.
Construction?
Sill. The door sill. The
doorway?
I guess doorway. But the
crown molding around
the
door?
The molding. Thank you, Ashley. The molding around the doorway is a good place. That's where you can put the nail, you know, or a stone or anything like that. So, again, if you need to be really subtle in your work, utilizing those nooks and cracks and corners is a good way to do it.
I've also heard of putting a crystal in each corner of your house, like the four corners.
Yes. That is something that I did in that last house I was in the basement.
Oh.
And you saw that basement.
Yeah,
basement
I did.
Was terrifying.
I slept in that basement.
It was scary. Everyone that came down to that basement said, "This space is haunted." And I said, "Don't worry. I have filled it up with my energy."
Well, I felt totally fine and safe down there. That's where I saw the kitty. So.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
I mean, but there were definitely some spaces I felt like I was in Saw or something.
The canning room.
Yep, that one particularly.
I'm telling you, that guy was a powerful Masonic...
Dude.
I don't know. I'm sure... He is like, stop talking about me.
He can't haunt this podcast, though.
So. No, he cannot. Or me. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm warded.
There you go.
So I just want to say thank you so much for having me on here today.
Oh, so before you go, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, do it.
So I ask everybody this when they come on. So if you can give one piece of advice to somebody who's brand new, doesn't have to be about warding or can if you'd like it to be. Somebody who maybe has never really read a book or cast a circle, as it turns out.
It's me.
but somebody who's a complete beginner trying to get involved in witchcraft and paganism or anything, what would you tell them?
I have two things.
Sure.
So first, I would say just do it. So as a Virgo, I can become really susceptible to feeling like I need to research things to death.
Yes.
Before I can put them into practice, and constantly feeling like I'm, I guess, like inept in whatever it is, and that I couldn't possibly be able to do something because I just don't have enough knowledge. But you don't learn by just reading. You have to do the work.
I say that all the time, and it's so true, and it needs to be stressed every single time.
It's really important. Just accepting being put on the path means that you have the power, right? Something brought you to the path. It's true. Something brought you to that path, so it means that you got the power within you, but also you deserve it. You know, and you have to continue to stay deserving by thanking the deities you work with or the spirits or whatever it is, you know, but just making sure you actually do the work, I think, is really important. And then second, I have already forgotten. Let's see. What was it? God, I had another one and I thought it was good.
Well, that's okay. If you can't think of it, do you have any books you recommend?
Yes, I do, actually. On the subject of warding, there is a... awesome practitioner, Alpheus Sebastiani, who wrote a book called By Rust of Nail and Prick of Thorn, and it's specifically about home warding, and it really taught me so much. So I would highly, highly recommend that. And let's see, I'm trying to think of other books that are specific to warding that I've used. To be honest, for me, warding has really been a self-taught practice or things learned from friends. So, you know, it with anything, I think within witchcraft, a lot of it is all word of mouth, and and it's passed down from person to person. So that's really the best book that I can think of in terms of warding. It's very short, sweet, brief, and to the point. And she also very much stresses that you just have to do the work. So yeah, that's a really good recommendation. Not to like pat myself on the back and be like, oh, that's a great recommendation, but it really is. It really, really is.
I know Matt Arin and Psychic, or his book Psychic Witch, he has an exercise I remember about. I think I want to say it's about warding, but I remember reading it in the book club we did for my Patreon members, where we talked about this exercise where you have an alarm that you put up. So if anything comes into your shield or ward or whatever you want to call it, you have a psychic alarm that goes off so you know. And I was like, that's specific. It's a specific thing to do. But yeah, you know, like whatever works, you know, not bashing them by any means. So I know he might have some stuff in there aside from that I just can't remember, because there are a lot of exercises in that book.
Okay. Maybe I'll have to check that out. I'm always curious. And the thing that is so cool, and you can really ask any practitioner that you know, is because warding is such a personal practice, everybody does have such a varied way of protecting themselves. So I do like to ask people, like, hey, what way are you subtly doing the basic magical hygienic thing of warding? So another piece of advice that I wanted to give to your listeners, and this may be a little contrary to, like, what you do, you're in such a rigid practice.
Lay it on me.
But for me personally, I've jumped around within so many systems of magic. And again, this is just for me personally and what I would recommend to other people who are really trying to find their place within the world of magic, is dabbling in a little bit of everything.
Right? I can agree with that.
I think it's really important to be well-rounded in your practice and at least have an understanding of what other practitioners do, just for the respect factor alone, but also out of curiosity. It helps you to know that you're in the right place. And I think that curating a practice that has a bit of everything will really keep you grounded and always learning. So
yeah, no, I agree with that. I know in some outer courts for the Gardnerian tradition, not all of them, some of them will actually ask people to get involved in another tradition at the same time.
Really?
To see if Gardnerian really is the best fit for you with what you're learning so far just in outer court. Then there's the opposite end of that, which is that some outer courts, like mine, for example, didn't want us to get involved with anything else at the time of our training, just so things wouldn't get muddled or murky, and so right. We can dedicate our time. It's not that we were, like, forbidden from talking to other people. It's absolutely nothing like that.
Right.
But it's more of, like, hey, you know, we're dedicating our time to you for this training. You know, dedicate your time back to us. You know, see if this is something that is really a best fit for you. That way you're not, you know, crossing wires and getting confused.
Right. Well, I will say dabbling in a bit of everything is what brought me to Freya and made me realize that I needed to dedicate my whole life to her, basically. And, you know, I still pull on other practices as well outside of her and her pantheon. But really, I feel like I've lived, like, four different spiritual lives because I started at such a young age. I really have gone through so many different motions and modalities of thinking and practice. So I really do think that, like you said, that really did bring me to where I am today and the right place where I'm supposed to be. So,
yeah.
Try it all, folks.
Yeah, I think I read something once where it said something like, you're already on your path before you realize that you started.
Absolutely.
And I totally agree with that. Like, the things that led me to my tradition and that eventually led me to this podcast and eventually led me to, like, you and I sitting here, not at a wine night.
I know. Is this the most sober we've ever been together? I don't know.
Yeah, like, it's crazy how things work out, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I do like feeling like you're always in the right place at the right time, mm-hmm. specifically when it comes to your magical work.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, awesome. Thank you so much, Nicole, for coming on. Oh, thanks, my gosh. I'm so happy for you to do this.
I know. I'm so sorry to the listeners, again, with the trail of apologies. I'm sure I was really scatterbrained.
Oh, I kind of always am.
So, appreciate my thoughts in a jumble.
So if anybody wanted to get in contact with you or reach out or, like, support you in any way or, like, anything, like, do you have any ways that people can find you?
Yeah.
If you want to be found?
Yeah, I can be found. I can be found.
I say as I uploaded a picture from Instagram for when you tagged me.
Yeah, so you can find me on Ashley's Instagram or
well, just the story.
Not really, but you can find me at _JamesRabbit on Instagram. That is my performer name. I'm also a fire performer, something I did not include in the beginning. Shout out to at Lucille Liberations on Instagram as well. That's my troupe, and we do a lot of ritual-esque performances. So
how do you spell that?
L-U-I-C-O-L Liberation. It's Firefly in French. So if you're interested in any ritual-esque type performances, that's a lot of what we do. We are
with fire.
We're practically a coven at this point. We always joke that we're practically a coven because all of us are individual practitioners, and we'll occasionally do rituals together, which is fun.
That sounds fun.
Yes. So yeah, that's where you can find me, _JamesRabbit or Lucille Liberation, both on Instagram. I would absolutely love to talk to anyone, especially other followers or devotees of Freya. I feel like I don't have enough people in my life that have even remotely any understanding of her and the type of work that it is that I do with her, which is of a more, I guess, almost necromantic quality. And, you know, that goes in with, like, my work in estate sales and the dead people and yada yada. So,
well, if you ever want to come on and talk about that, you know where I live.
I could tell so many ghost stories on this podcast between the spiritualism growing up and working with Freya and these estate sales. I got plenty. So if anybody wants that, please sound off in the comments. But yes, thank you so much for having me today. And I really look forward to hearing how obnoxious my voice sounds.
Oh my gosh,
on
you
audio.
Well, thank you for coming. As always, if you want to find me, I'm pretty easy to find on the internet. Honestly, if you just look up Seeking Witchcraft Podcast, you'll find me at this point. But on Facebook, it's Seeking Witchcraft Podcast. I have a Facebook group called Witches Seeking Witchcraft. My Twitter is Seek Witchcraft. My Instagram is Seeking Witchcraft. And I have a Patreon if you're interested and want to support the show.
Do it.
We have a Patreon-only Discord where we have our book clubs, and there's, like, some different text chats and, you know, our channels and, you know, things like that. But right now we're reading Wicca for Beginners, I think is what it's called, by Thea Sabin. We literally just started the book club. Like, we've had one meeting, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. So if you're interested, you can find that out on Patreon. It's patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. But yeah, so thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you again, Nicole. I'm so happy we did this.
Thank you for having me. I'm so proud of you and where you are in your journey. I really, aww, like, I could not see any other life for you.
Oh my God,
I'm
so sweet.
I'm really excited for you and to see where everything that you do continues to grow.
Oh my God,
so
that's so sweet. Oh, thank you. All right, well, it was great talking with you, and thank you all for listening, and I'll talk to you all very soon.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.